The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Reformers Reader, we get a chance to have another guest that we love to talk to. John Hudak from the Brookings Institute is on the line. John, welcome back to the show. Hello, John. Do we have you on the line? Oh, my goodness. Once again, having some audio difficulties here with our connection. Let me we'll try to redial John and get him here on the phone from the Brookings Institute and talk to him about what's happening with his new report that's entitled The Medical Marijuana Mess, A Prescription for Fixing a Broken Policy. And let's see if we've got John on the line now. John, can you hear me okay out there?
I can.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to have you here. We had some technical difficulties, but it seems like everything's okay. I was introducing people to the thesis of your paper, The Medical Marijuana Mess, but I'm sure you can do a better job than I. Tell people, what is the medical marijuana mess we're in?
So what I'm talking about in my latest Brookings essay is a situation we have in the United States in which the federal government has used Band-Aids to fix what are gaping wounds in public policy, and that is a federal government acknowledgement that medical marijuana programs exist in the United States, and it's very difficult for the federal government to shut down state systems. And a laissez-faire approach has been seen as the proper solution, but the reality is that approach from the Obama administration has created numerous problems facing patients and businesses and accountants and lawyers and regulators all across the United States. And so that fix really isn't a fix.
Some people would argue that the Obama administration at least has been laissez-faire, unlike perhaps another administration, maybe a McCain or a Romney administration, that might have gone whole hog into filing injunctions and sending in the DEA. But do you think that the people don't give enough credit to President Obama in that respect?
I think that's right. I mean, Barack Obama has been the most pro-marijuana reform president we've had in our history. And he's taken steps that have been different than previous presidents and were probably different, as you said, than if Mitt Romney were elected president or John McCain were elected president. But at the end of the day, challenges still exist. And while the Obama administration policies may be something that reform advocates are happy with, there are different steps that could be taken that could clear up what are some very serious federal and state versus federal policy challenges.
I'd imagine that a lot of that you're talking about are the banking problems and the tax problems that are out there, some of the things that would be addressed by the CARES Act in the Senate, right?
Yeah, there are issues involving veterans, there are issues involving banking, but general issues around access, general issues around research. The idea that if you live in one state, you might have access to, you know, whole flower marijuana, you might have access to CBD oil, but if you live 5 miles away on the other side of the state border, you have to remain sick. You don't have access to those materials. And that's not how public policy is necessarily supposed to work, and it's something that is really putting people at risk. And so the issues, so the banking issues and issues abound for the marijuana industry. But basic patient access is something that oftentimes is overlooked.
Very, very well put. We're speaking with John Hudak from the Brookings Institute. And if people want to get this report of yours online, this white paper, how can they do that?
They can go online to brookings.edu/marijuana mess, and that will take them to not only the marijuana mess essay, but links to a variety of the work that we've been doing over the past several years at Brookings on the topic.
Excellent. Now, with respect to what you are addressing there, would the CARES Act go a long way into addressing some of these problems, or is there still other areas that need to be tackled?
The CARES Act goes a long way in terms of addressing a lot of the problems that exist with regard to federal policy and with regard to state-federal relations. But there's a lot of work to be done. And so issues involving veterans, where veterans can't go to VA hospitals, even in states with legal medical marijuana programs, and ask for a recommendation. And in fact, if they do ask for a recommendation, or God forbid, admit to using medical marijuana illegally, oftentimes they face some real repercussions from the VA system. It also helps fix tax issues. It helps essentially empower states that have taken a step forward in terms of marijuana reform to maintain their state system, but also have some version of federal protection under the system. It doesn't force states that have marijuana as an illegal substance to opt in, but it allows those states who have chosen to opt in to have broader protection.
Sounds like some great policy recommendations, folks. You can learn more at brookings.edu/marijuana mess. And, John, another headline that went all across the mass media this past week was the DEA indicating that before the middle of 2016 is over, they'll make an announcement on rescheduling petitions. First of all, do you see rescheduling as something that can have a major impact on this marijuana mess? And second of all, do you really think they're going to do anything different other than just kick the can down the road?
So on the first point, you know, there are many in the reform community who think of rescheduling as something that won't matter or something that might empower big pharma or too small of a step to be worth the effort. The reality is, I think for many reform advocates, any means by which the federal government is going to signal that they're changing their tune, that they're listening to the medical and scientific communities, and that they're willing to expand research, has to be seen as a win on their behalf. And so rescheduling is going to help researchers answer some of the questions that exist out there around the efficacy of marijuana in therapeutic use. And that basis in itself has been what the federal government has used to deny marijuana status as a drug for decades. And so if you can start to answer those questions, I think you can start to break down talking points, which in and of itself has some value. Now, as to the question of whether the DEA is ready to do this, the DEA, I think, is loath to reschedule marijuana, but they're also currently facing a rapidly changing public opinion landscape, a rapidly changing scientific community, and frankly, they recognize that if they don't change, the country is going to change without them. And so now is probably the best time there has ever been in the policy world to see DEA make this change. But I'll be convinced of it when they finally make that announcement.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. Now, you also made a brief mention that we have federal issues to deal with and then also federal-state issues to deal with. What are some of the conflicts federal-state-wise that are part of this marijuana mess?
Well, a lot of the banking issues exist in this federal-state space. And so states have made efforts to give banks cover or to set up co-ops or credit unions or other types of institutions that can allow cannabis enterprises to have access to basic financial products like checking accounts or savings accounts or business loans. But at the end of the day, these institutions are still regulated by the Federal Reserve, or they're still trafficking in banknotes, which are Federal Reserve banknotes. And so most of the states that have tried this have failed. And so banking is a big deal. Taxes are another big deal. Cannabis enterprises, for the most part, are not able to write off the standard business taxes that any other business in the United States would be allowed to do. And those are issues that even when states make reforms, the federal government is setting up roadblocks to allow these businesses to function in a normal way. And I mean, there are enforcement issues, there are regulatory issues, there are product safety issues, that the federal government could play a much more major role in helping states regulate and run their own systems. And right now, they're just sort of whistling and letting everything happen outside of their, not control, but their ability to influence the process in a positive way.
So the state of Oregon here, Governor Kate Brown just recently signed a bill that made changes to Oregon's banking laws with respect to marijuana industry. But these laws being passed right now, are they just symbolic in nature? They make us feel good, but they're not really going to help until the feds do something?
Yeah, there are a lot of states that have made these efforts. Colorado has, Governor Brown now has in Oregon, and others have as well. And each of them is a bit of a test case. It's trying to see how will not only the federal government respond, but how will financial institutions respond. So far, financial institutions have not responded well to these efforts because at the end of the day, they're trafficking in CYA public policy too. They don't want to get shut down. They don't want their assets frozen. And even though the banking industry is a risky enterprise, when it comes to cannabis, bankers are risk averse. And so no one has really cracked the code yet. The code gets cracked when the federal government reforms in this area. And until then, these piecemeal efforts just haven't been that successful.
John Hudak is from the Brookings Institute, and the paper is The Medical Marijuana Mess, A Prescription for Fixing a Broken Policy. And you can get that at brookings.edu/marijuana mess. And before we let you go here at the top of the hour, John, with Marco Rubio dropping out of the presidential race, we no longer have any candidates who are vociferously anti-marijuana. I mean, we get Ted Cruz and Donald Trump with kind of let's have a states' rights attitude toward it. Hillary Clinton has a rescheduling attitude. Bernie Sanders has a descheduling attitude. But how much can the president, no matter who it is, affect these changes that you need to recommend, that you're recommending in your report?
Well, the president has huge influence. You know, right now the federal position on marijuana exists because of a memo out of the Justice Department. Well, that memo in some ways functions like an executive order. The next president could reverse that in an instant, and the entire House of Cards can collapse. What we have now with the five presidential candidates left in place, Cruz, Kasich, Trump, Sanders, and Clinton, are people who are, at a minimum, happy with the Obama policy. They're not going to take a step backwards, and there are a lot of reasons why that's true. But for the first time in American history, you have a slate of presidential candidates who are essentially signaling to the country, if you're a marijuana reformer, things will not get worse. They'll either stay the same, or I, as president, will make things better for your community. And it shows a maturity in cannabis policy. It shows that even presidential candidates have to talk about cannabis not as a pun, not as a punchline, but as public policy. And that's a tremendous advance when we look back at where this policy area was 5, 10, 15 years ago.
John Hudak from the Brookings Institute, we always like having you on the show. Thanks for joining us, and good luck on everything you have going.
Hey, Russ, thanks a lot for having me back.
Good. Check it out, brookings.edu/marijuana mess, and you can get that information. And folks, that's all the time we got here for hour one. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for hour two. Toker Talk Radio's next. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.